This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm so glad you are with us today. I'm Katie McCowan, and we are talking about prayer this season on the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about today. I have with me Grace Fox as our guest. Grace, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Katie. Thanks so much for having me.
I am so glad that you are here today. Let me tell you a little bit about Grace before we get into our conversation today. Grace is a career global worker and the author of 10 books, including her new award-winning devotional, Finding Hope in Crisis, Devotions for Calm in Chaos. She's a member of the First Five Bible Study Writing Team for Proverbs 31 Ministries and a regular contributor to Guidepost's annual devotional, Mornings with Jesus. This is possibly one of my favorite things about Grace. She lives aboard a sailboat in Vancouver, British Columbia. So fun. And married in 1982, she and her husband, Gene, celebrate 3 grown kids and 11 grandchildren. You can connect with Grace and subscribe to her weekly devotional blog at www.gracefox.com. And Grace is here today to talk with us about prayer, but we're going to answer some really specific questions today. And what we really want to talk about is what prayer is. We'll answer what is prayer, but we also want to answer what is prayer not? And I love this topic. And so, Grace, I'd love to just dive right in. And let's start with, what is prayer not?
Well, Katie, I think sometimes as believers, we might think that prayer is one of those things on our daily to-do list. And so we might put it at the top or somewhere in the middle. And we look at that. And when we're done, whatever we do for prayer, we feel like we're accomplished because we can check it off, just like we've checked off the other things on that list. But prayer is not an item on our daily to-do checklist. And prayer is not a list of bullet points to which God says yes or no. We can really lose our focus when we start thinking of it like that bullet list, you know, and God's either going to say yes or he's going to say no. And we base our effectiveness in prayer on how many checks we have. It's not a means of trying to twist God's arm or convince him to give us what we think we need. And it's not a religious exercise that all good Christians do in order to impress God or feel spiritual. So when I think about what prayer is not, those are the things that come to mind.
And let me ask you this, Grace. I mean, as you were saying all of those things, I'm nodding along over here. And I think that at one time or another, I probably approached prayer in all of those ways. And I'm curious if you have ever felt like, maybe even without realizing it, like you're treating prayer in one or all of those ways. And what that felt like, you know, I can say that when I have approached prayer in without, like I said, not even always meaning to, when I have approached prayer as a list of bullet points, you know, to check off whether God says yes or no, or as a thing on my to-do list, I feel the distance. I feel almost the staleness of that time. And so I'm just curious if you've ever noticed anything like that as well.
I have, because I've done them all. So I'm speaking from experience on this,
but okay, so I'm not alone. That makes me feel better.
Oh, no. You're not alone. Believe me. But the word that comes to my mind is burdensome. And so prayer it's meant to be a gift, but it doesn't feel like a gift, right? To us, when we're looking at it in those ways that we mentioned, it is a chore. It's a task that we have to do, and it feels heavy. There's not a freedom in that. There's no joy in that. It's not a sense of privilege in communicating with our Creator God. It's a chore that must be done.
And so I feel I understand that. I have felt those same things. And I feel like that's just a really great transition into, Okay, well then what is prayer? And you mentioned some of the words just now, I think, when you were talking and when you were answering my last question. But if we know what prayer is not now, then what is prayer?
Prayer totally is a gift. That's the word that I used just a moment ago. It's a gift from God to enjoy fellowship with Him. It's a privilege that we get to do this. That's not a task. Prayer, if we think of it more as a gift and a privilege, we can also think of it as seeking intimacy with God. So if we're just thinking of it in terms of trying to convince Him to give us something that we think we need, that becomes gift focused, right? Give me, God, give me. But if we think of it in terms of intimacy with God, then it becomes worship based. And that's where we want it to be. So we want to seek God's face, not the things that He will give us. We want to seek His face. I think Psalm 27:8 is a verse that captured my heart years ago. And it says this: "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming." And that to me encapsulates what prayer is. It's His invitation to come and sit with Him, to come and talk with Him, to come to get to know Him better. I also think that prayer is God's way of involving us in earth's circumstances. And that kind of blows my mind, because if I were God, would I really want to involve humanity in what's going on around in the earth? But like, wouldn't it be simpler if I just went around mankind and did what needed to be done? But He doesn't think that way. He invites us to participate in what's going on. And He does that because it means having an interactive relationship with Him on an ongoing basis. And then one other thing that I think of when I think of what prayer is this: it's abiding in the presence of God. It's Calvin Miller summed it up really well with this quote. He said, "The best prayers are dialogues of rapport. It's neither talking nor listening. It's abiding in the presence of God."
That is so beautiful, and just such a shift from what we talked about with what prayer is not. And so, you know, some of the words that I heard and as you were talking was one, invitation. And so, you know, when you think about an invitation, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be invited. And it's something that you look forward to versus something you have to do. It's almost like an invitation into something special that is not necessarily available apart from an invitation. And so when we shift from the idea of a have to do or a to-do list to the invitation into the presence of our God and Savior, it's a very, very different approach. And then, you know, you use the word dialogue. And then I even love how you said it. It's not even, you took it one step further in that when we think dialogue, we think, you know, talking and listening. And you took that one step further into just being. And so I'm curious, when we get to this piece of prayer, the part of the dialogue, the part of talking and listening, and then also the piece of just abiding and being. Can you talk a little bit about that when we talk about, because I think it can get confusing to like, well, we are supposed to bring our requests to God. You know, the Bible does say that. So when we come in prayer, it is a bringing our requests, not necessarily like the list of bullet points with a yes or no answer, but talk to me a little bit more about that and how we then dialogue with God in prayer in the midst of the purpose of abiding and worshiping. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. When I think of abiding in prayer, I think of incorporating an ongoing awareness and interactivity with God in the normal part of my day. So what I do as I practice that myself is I am constantly bringing my mind back to the fact that Jesus is with me And so when I go for a walk, I talk out loud to him. And I talk to him about my concerns. I bring my request to him, but I talk to him and I thank him for the gift of sight as I walk along down the sidewalk and I see the flowers in bloom. I thank him for strong legs that enable me to take a walk in the first place. I just involve him in every little bit and part of my day. I turn the mundane into acts of worship just by ongoing conversation. And so I might be, by living on a boat, I have to take my laundry to a laundromat, and it's a block walk away. So whether I'm walking in the sunshine or in the rain, doesn't matter. I'm walking with Jesus and I'm carrying my dirty wash to the laundromat and just chatting with him and thanking him that we have clothes that need to be washed or that there's a laundromat available. And if it's raining, I thank him for the moisture that he's bringing to the land. And if it's sunny, I thank him for the sunshine. And just engaging in conversation with him and that helps me be aware of his presence. It's an act of worship no matter what I do. And I feel like, yeah, that just keeps my heart connected with his heart throughout the day.
I remember this was several years ago, and I'm just going to be really honest here, but I remember being at a conference and talking about a similar subject, about the idea of abiding in Christ, and the awareness that you mentioned. And my children were much younger then, and so I was just in a phase of life where I had all of my young children at home. If you're a new listener to the Best Day Ever podcast, I have 6 children and we homeschooled them for quite some time. And so that's the place in life where I was, where I had all of my 6 little ones at home with me all of the time. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this person talk about abiding in Christ and just being so aware of his presence and his activity in every part of our life. And I remember, I honestly did this. I asked out loud in front of the entire group. I said, so how do you recommend I do that when I'm like plunging the toilet that just overflowed and all of my kids are just outside the door, you know, and I'm trying to keep them from like spilling the milk, you know? And it was just a lot of what you just described, but just kind of the throes of everyday life that can bog us down, that can even be just distractions. But I love how you turned it to when we really set our hearts and minds to become more and more aware of the constant presence of Jesus in our lives, in every part of our lives, at every moment, it does change our perspective, even on those circumstances, like you said, like laundry, you know, which can really just be more of a frustration at times or an inconvenience or something like that. But then you become aware of the blessings and, like you said, the things to be thankful for. And I don't think it's just always going to be like, well, then that just makes me so happy. But it does change the It can change our heart in the moment. I don't know if I'll ever be happy about plunging a toilet, but the fact that we have, you know, a bathroom in the house, that's not something that everyone has experienced. The fact that we have running water, the fact that we can pay the water bill, all of those things are things to be thankful for, you know, and so I appreciate the way that you brought that just into the regular rhythms of our day, the way that prayer doesn't have to be like this set aside place that doesn't show up in the regular everyday things. I want to ask you this, Grace, because I've heard it said that prayer is a type of spiritual discipline that can be learned. And so, you know, for the listener who's maybe feeling like they're at the starting point of incorporating prayer into more of a just a regular part of their lives, talk to me about some ways that you have learned to pray in your life. Give me some examples of that from your life.
Mm-hmm. Let me add too, just with that word discipline, that word discipline can have a bit of a scary connotation to it sometimes. People think, oh no, here we go. This is going to be hard on me. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's just, I think in the context that we're speaking, it's means more of a regular practice, making it a regular practice in our lives, not something scary or hard. And so within that context, here are a couple of examples from my own life. I believe firmly that the Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. I mean, when we look at scripture, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And he did. He just said, okay, do it like this. And he gave them a template to follow. And that's a good way we can do it, right? We can look at that and we can learn about the discipline of prayer by looking at the Lord's Prayer and following that template that begins with our Father who art in heaven, and we acknowledge who we're praying to and so on. But here's what I encourage listeners to do. Like, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to pray. And that's what I did. Like, when I did that for the first time, it became monumental, a huge turning point for me in my prayer life. And it happened as a result of a difficult family relationship. So I happened to have a family photo of this whole group of people on my mantelpiece when we still lived in a house. And I was really hurting over a particular relationship within that family photo. So one day, and I was at a loss. I was so devastated and hurt over what had happened that I really was at a loss to know how to pray. And one of the things I had been praying was simply this. I was like, oh God, fix it. I don't know what else to say. Would you fix it, please? And so this one day, I just stood and looked at the picture. And I just put my hand on it. And I said, God, teach me how to pray on this. I don't know what to say. Teach me how to pray. And I kid you not, it was like, boom, this instant download that just came. And it came like this. This is literally how it came. Father, would you paint on the canvas of their hearts what you want this relationship to look like and make it match the picture you paint on the canvas of my heart? And this was a big canvas picture. So paint on the canvas of their hearts what you want this relationship to look like. And then one after another, after another, after another, these different insights just came like a flood. I could hardly keep up with them. Well, the first thought that came to my mind was, who's the artist anyway? Is it me trying to fix this relationship? Or am I giving it to the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts and to do his artistry here in people's lives? He is the master artist. The second insight that came was, a masterpiece takes time, so be patient with the process. Then it came like, this relationship has spots on it, just like a canvas painting can have spots on it, and they can happen accidentally. Like, I was thinking, I know one thing that I did to contribute to that hurt, but I didn't mean it that way. I meant it well, but it was taken wrong. And so there's this spot on this relationship. And so, you know, Jesus, you're the master artist. Would you just take and incorporate that spot into your masterpiece? Or take and paint over it and do with it whatever you want, but make this picture what you want it to look like. And then this insight, the finished painting might not look at all like what I envision it looking like, but I need to be okay with that, with the master artist's work here. And then it was this. If the finished product brings a smile to the master artist's face, then that's good enough for me. Again, it might not look like what I think or want it to look like, but if it brings a smile to Jesus' face, then that's okay. That all of that came within seconds of praying for the Lord to teach me how to pray into that relationship. And that's why I think prayer is something that can be learned. We just need to ask him to teach us. And I think those things that he wants to teach us might just blow us away. I had never, ever considered all those things when I had prayed about that hurtful family relationship. And that's just one example. So, Katie, I don't know if you want to stop here for a second and share whatever insights come to your mind from this before I move into the second one, but feel free if there's something that you'd like to say.
And I'm excited to hear another example. I, you know, what I love about this is that I don't know if it's just our human nature or if it's something that we've learned over time, but I think, I don't know if you're like this, Grace, but sometimes it feels like when I come to God in prayer, I'm supposed to already have all the answers. Uh-huh. So I know what to ask him to do, right? Like, all right, God, so this is the situation and I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And when we don't have our way to fix the problem, then we kind of get locked up in we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. And, you know, if the disciples, that when Jesus was present in his physical body on earth and the disciples asked him, teach us to pray, why wouldn't we do that now? Why wouldn't we? And I just love how different it was when you surrendered that and said, I don't know how to pray right now. And the only thing I have is to say, teach me. And the very different, the way it went so very differently when you made that shift. So yes, I'd love to hear another example.
Yeah. Katie, I think what you said a minute ago was just spot on, in that so often we think in prayer that we have to come to God with the answers and say, God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And I think I'd been doing that in that situation prior to that day where I just sort of gave it up. And again, that same word burdensome comes to my mind. If we think we have to have the answers when we come to God and we start telling him what to do, for me, when I catch myself shifting into that mode, I call myself Mrs. Bossy Pants, because like, who am I to tell God what to do? I just think that's ludicrous, but I do it. And so, yeah, shifting into, I don't know what to say here, I just need you to teach me, puts it in a whole different perspective. And mm-hmm. truly it does. So a second example from my life would be when I say to God, show me how to pray. Give me specific scriptures to pray over this situation. And when I do that, like I've done that for my kids and their spouses for years. And I love it how he brings different scriptures to my mind that I never would have really thought about. Because again, I think I get too focused on telling him what to do. But mm-hmm. when I open it up to him and say, give me scriptures to show me how to pray, like to the root of whatever situation is happening here, mm-hmm. then he opens that wide up. And one that he's given me that I've been praying now recently over all my children is Micah 6:8. And it's like, what does the Lord require of us anyways, right? It's to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And I think that if I see my kids struggle in some way, you know what? What's the root of what's going on here? Maybe there's a bit of pride. Maybe they're trying to do something independently from God. Maybe they're thinking that they know better than God in some situation. And that might be causing some heartache in their lives, some issue to arise. But when I pray that they will learn to walk humbly with God, that's praying right to the root. And I feel confident. I know then that I am praying a prayer that is in alignment with God's heart.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what I love here is when we say, Lord, teach me to pray about this situation, then he will take us to the root. And so often we know that he sees the root, but we don't always see the root. A lot of times we just see what's right in front of us. And there's something so much deeper happening. And so there we go back to, if we're coming to God with our plan and we're just saying, okay, here's what we know needs to happen, will you take care of this for us? Then we may be missing the entire root of what's happening in the first place. And so when we shift that and we say instead, Lord, teach me to pray, then we are saying, what do you see, Lord? What do you know that I don't know? And we know that you see things that we don't see. And so I just think we can expect and it to be more effective because we're looking to him. We're not looking to our own ideas and best guesses, really. And so I love how you brought up the root there and certainly praying scripture. And, you know, that's been a theme of this is not the first time praying scripture has come up on the podcast during this season. that where we're discussing prayer. And so I love that verse that you offered as a suggestion of even a place to begin when we pray scripture.
Yeah, Katie, something else that I've learned, and this is really taking me out of my box about prayer. But a couple of years ago, I just started praying, God, please, as you teach me how to pray, if you want to teach me through putting a picture in my mind, do that too. And so then I've learned to be sensitive to that. It's like learning to listen for God's voice, but sometimes he communicates through a script, through a picture. And so this has stretched me. But there was one time when I was praying again about that same relationship. And I thought, you know, in that particular relationship, I always feel like I'm walking on eggshells. If I say the wrong thing or if I do the wrong thing accidentally, I'm going to fall into a hole. And that one day, as I was walking and praying, I got this picture in my head of walking across a field. And there was this, what would I say? Like a piece of burlap laying across the ground. I stepped on it and boom, went right down because it was just the temporary cover to a big hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. And I stepped on that. I went crashing into the hole. And I thought, that's how I feel with that relationship. It's like, if I step on this thing that's a temporary fix, it's not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And I realized that if I was only praying, God, fix this relationship, God, give us a good visit the next time we're together, that would be the equivalent, you know, of just praying a temporary fix. But again, praying to the root. And then mm-hmm. in that picture, it suddenly went from this piece of burlap. It was like, take the burlap off and pour concrete into that hole, like fill in the hole so that there's never any danger of accidentally stepping on this thing and going crashing into the hole again. Because the hole is now gone. It's filled up. The root has been taken care of. And when the root's taken care of, you can just walk right across and there's no injury. There's nothing that's going to happen. And I thought, that is the way God wants this relationship to look. He wants it to be taken care of, completely taken care of, so that there's never any injury again. Never fear of stepping in onto something that's going to give way, right? He wants the root of the problem to be taken care of even more than I do. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, that's just this other way that he's been teaching me to pray, to be sensitive to his voice as he teaches me how to pray into situations.
And, you know, I do want to say, as this has been such a great conversation, and I just think so many amazing takeaways, depending on where each listener is in their walk with the Lord and situations and in their prayer life. But I do want to say, just to make sure this isn't confused, we're having a little, you know, 30-minute conversation about this, and maybe we get to the end of it and it sounds like, well, you know, yeah, you say, Lord, teach me to pray, and then instantly everything is all tied up and feels better, and, you know, you've got all the answers you need. And I know that that has not been your experience, Grace, and I know that you would want our listeners to know that just because we say, Lord, teach me to pray, and just because we become more consistent in prayer and we pray to the end of relationship with our Savior and abiding in his presence, that doesn't mean that there's always a quick fix. A lot of times it requires patience. And, you know, back to that word that you said earlier, Grace, it requires discipline. It requires the continued pattern day after day and moment after moment throughout every day. And that's okay. That's actually a great thing. It's, you know, because we go all the way back to what prayer is, and it is the abiding in the presence of the Lord. And so no matter what is happening in our situations, no matter how quickly we feel like they're getting fixed, or no matter how often we feel like we're having an aha moment, you know, if you will, that's not the marker of a prayer life that is rich. The prayer life, the whole point of it is just the abiding presence of our Savior.
I agree, Katie. And it's learning to know peace, even in the process. Because yes. I had those insights, like I said, when I looked at that canvas, and I had those insights when I said, teach me to pray. But that hasn't fixed the situation. You know, like I say, there's still stuff that's being worked through, and it's been years. And so I keep going back to that one little insight that he gave me about a masterpiece takes time. So be patient in the process. And so, yes, as we say, teach me to pray, you may get the insights, but you still have to wait. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience.
Yes.
And it's learning to trust. It's learning to be at peace. To be at peace, and that peace comes by abiding in His presence. Not because the answers come immediately. It's because we are getting to know Him more intimately through that whole process.
That's so good, Grace. I just appreciate this so much. I know that my heart just has peace being a part of this conversation, and just the rest that comes from abiding in the presence of God and trusting Him in the process and knowing that we can be patient because He is working these things out, and He is, He invites us into His presence as we participate in this process with Him. Grace, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And I just pray that as you have listened, there's been even just one takeaway for where you are right now in your prayer life and in the earthly circumstances that you're facing, that allows you to take this and apply it to today and tomorrow and every day moving forward from here, so that every day can be your best day ever. Grace, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Katie.